Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, and welcome to the 6:30, Keeping It Real. Keeping It Real. Today, as Keeping It Real, our topic today is, I will bless you, you will bless others. And this comes from a real life situation in the mind. One can bless me. Now I was telling them about my situation. Being the person that I am, I hesitated. Receiving the blessing by telling them how to forward the blessing. So doing, I put them in jeopardy of receiving their blessing. I believe that the Bible, you see, when we go to Genesis 12, I think 12, 2 and 3, we'll see the scripture basis for blessing. And I said for years, whenever I bless other people, I didn't call it blessing back then. When I did a good deed for others, and my thing was, don't worry about doing nothing for me or giving it back to me. Just give it, pass it on. Pass it on. And there's a song that you used to sing about, pass it on. Well, I see our other partners here today. So you have two of us. The third part.
Good evening, Apostle Armstrong. How are you?
Good evening. I'm fine. And it's going to be you and I today.
Yes, our other partner doing the grandma thing.
Yeah. And that's a good one.
It's a good thing.
It's building
a good thing.
Yeah. It's building memories. Building memories.
Yes, it is.
And that's so important.
It is.
I thought of my grandparents and I even had a dream about my grandfather. And it was all good.
Oh, yeah.
Today I was just giving the people a little background, but today I'll talk to you. I will bless you, and you will bless others.
Oh,
and
that's good.
The background comes, somebody offered to bless me. Somebody offered to bless me today, and I hesitated. And to receive the blessing, my thing was, oh, I'm okay. They mentioned it yesterday. I said, I'm okay, I got it. Today, it was very subtle. They asked, do I have Zelle? Or do I have, what form do I have? Because they were going to bless me anyway without even asking me. And I thought about it, and it took me a while even to respond to that. And one thing people told me a while back is that you rob people of their blessing when you don't let them bless you.
Right.
And I said, you know, he's interesting. And I used to say to people years ago, if I did something good for them, a good deed, don't worry about it. You don't have to do
mm-hmm.
anything for me. Just do something for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing something for somebody else, the blessing will reach my family, or it'll eventually reach me. And
mm-hmm.
and here I didn't think about that today.
Mm-hmm.
That blessing that I'm going to receive is a result, maybe a blessing that I did to somebody, a good deed I did to somebody 30 or 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just coming back to me now.
That's right.
So that was the foundation. So we have to let people be blessed. Let people bless you. And
oh, yeah.
even if you
yeah.
do not give it, if they're blessing it without strain, no strain attached. What I mean by
mm-hmm.
that is, you got to tear back of what happened. Then
mm-hmm.
you can go and bless somebody else. But I'm
mm-hmm.
going to read a couple of scriptures. After
okay.
I'm going to ask you to pray and pray. We're going to open it today and pray. We're in it. I'll do the end and pray. There's a little church that's going through what we called it. Well, they're going through problems. They're in problems. They got people wanted to sue and all that, and they had to go to court, and it's been a little messy. So I'm asking you lift that up in prayer. Not just that little church. I'm sure that there's others that are in similar condition.
Heavenly Father, thank you, first of all, so much for this awesome day that you have given us. Thank you for just the privilege and the honor of being able to call you Father. Thank you for adopting us into the greatest family in heaven and in earth. Father, we just give you honor and glory today. We thank you for this time of just coming together over the airways, Lord, and we just make ourselves so available to you, Holy Spirit. You place inside of our mouth that which you would have us to speak. And let those words penetrate and pierce hearts today. Bring hope and encouragement today. Because, Lord, all of your word is good. All of your word is good. And, Lord, we pray for those, even this church, this ministry that Apostle Armstrong just mentioned. Father God, you know the ins and outs. And you said that we would be persecuted for righteousness' sake. And Lord, I ask you to vindicate your people, not only them, but all that may be in similar circumstances. Father, I ask you to vindicate them today. I ask you, Lord, to go before them and make all the crooked places straight. I pray that the spirit of peace and joy would once again envelop those in that fellowship. Lord, let that which is true be shown and that which is false be shown. Father, we just thank you that you're a God of peace and not confusion. And we just want to thank you even for Apostle Miller as she spent this time making tremendous memories with her grandchildren to bless her and her family. Bless every ear that's tuned to the station today, Father God. Let your word go forth and let it bring peace and joy, encouragement to all those that are listening. And Father, we just thank you that you are concerned about everything that concerns us. And the answer to every dilemma or issue in our life can be found in the Word, can be found in your name, can be found in your blood. And Father, we just want to say thank you and bless you for all that you will do during this time in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. As I mentioned earlier about our topic, I will bless you and you will bless others. And that
mm-hmm.
comes from Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. It had to do with
mm-hmm.
Abraham,
mm-hmm.
God speaking to Abraham. And God told Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. He said that I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. So what did Abraham do? Abraham followed that. He understood that, and he went. And what happened? What did God do? God blessed him. And God will keep his word, his promise, okay? But, but whenever you look at it, there was another part of it. He said that he would bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go back. I will make you a great nation. And so making him a great nation meant more than just him and his family.
Yeah.
It meant something even greater. And whenever you look at it, you see, he said, I'll bless you. God said, Abraham, and you will be a blessing. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. That's Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. So when you look at God's promise, he promised to bless Abraham. And then, you know, whenever you look at that, what did Abraham have to do? See, it didn't stop with Abraham. He said, I will bless you and make a great nation out of you. Well, Abraham had to do something in order for the nation to come into being. So whenever we look at that, and what was I doing? I was denying that person the ability to bless me. I was denying that person the ability to do what the scripture said. They're not God, but as a believer, that's what they felt that they should be about. And they should be blessing people. When you go to Matthew chapter 6, it talks about giving. It talks about how you give. It doesn't just say the stop is giving in church. So we have to really think about what giving is all about. Then you go to Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1, 6, and 7. It says, hear my servant, my chosen one in which I delight. Well, then when you stop and you, God calls what? A servant. So that person was one of God's servants. And he said, my chosen one in whom I delight. Well, God delighted in that person because of how that person carried out their responsibility. He said, I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nation. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. Well, that's what a righteous person is supposed to do. And when you go right back to Matthew 6, 33, and says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he said, I will make you to be a covenant for the people, a covenant for the people, and a light for the Gentiles. So what is that doing? That is telling us that God is setting up parameters for us to operate and for us to live by. He said, I will make you to be a covenant for the people. Not just him. He said a covenant for the people. He was talking about the people. And then he's going to make him to be a light for the Gentiles. Then he said, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. And he covers a multitude of things. If he told him straight up, here is my servant, my chosen one. I delight. I'll put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nation. Well, that's what this is about down here, is bringing the justice to the nation. And this is my favorite one here, is when I come into the knowledge of understanding of wealth and how you accumulate wealth. because I used to look at all these billionaires and millionaires and all this, but they are selfish. But that's not their means based on the scripture. What they're doing with their money is not according to the will of God. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, 18, it says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." We run around here for years. I run around, I'm doing this, I did this, I did the other. When I worked for government, I moved up and moved on up the ladder. And you know, I never really stopped and say, well, this was all done because of God. Yeah, my thing was, hey, I qualified for these positions that I received, and I deserve, what did I say? I deserve the pay scale that I was getting. But that's not what this says. This says that God gives us the power to get wealth. It says, and it tells us that we need to remember God. We need to remember him. And remember him, that he's the one that gives us the wealth. Now, guess why? Mm-hmm. He says that he may establish his covenant. We talked about a covenant up there earlier. Establish his covenant, which he swore to who? Your fathers. Your, one version says your ancestors. Mm-hmm. And as it is today. So why did he give you wealth? He gave you wealth so he could use it to fulfill the covenant that those who prayed and those who sought his way back when, now it's coming to pass, their ancestors, the covenant that he made with them. And in my case, I work with young people and the elderly. So the prayers that went up way back when for the youth, now the youth are elderly. They're the elderly. Mm-hmm. And whenever you look at it chronologically, so I am using my resources for that purpose. So the thing, if we just look at it in those terms, then the world would be a different person. One wouldn't have to sit here and be concerned about how people are using their money. People won't be trying to go to outer space, build a rocket ship, want to be the first one to get out into outer space, because they would be using their money right here on this earth to take care of people here, as opposed to doing stuff for themselves. And that's the other part, that people that won't be selfish, and they're utilizing their funds.
Right.
Yeah. Because whenever you sit down, you think about all of this, and you see billionaires, how they're using their money. Are they using it according to God's word? Because God gave them the ability to get that money. So God is going to hold them accountable. We don't have to be looking at them and getting bent out of shape at them, speaking negative about them, because God going to deal with them, according to Deuteronomy 8:18.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I finally gave in and accepted whatever after the Holy Spirit convicted me. So, and I never, because my whole thing is, like I said, my whole thing was, I was always the one that was helping people, that was giving people. And now somebody I ain't even asked. And that's what makes it so important and make me to believe and understand where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
So, now that's the background of of the our discussion, background for our discussion.
Well, you know, Apostle, that is so good because even when you were in Genesis, when God created man, and you can look at Genesis 1 and then 26 and 27, God created man in his own image and likeness. And that means that we are, the things that we do bring honor and glory to him. It's what he would be doing were he in the earth. He's in the earth in us. But 28 said, and God blessed them. That's, God didn't curse them. God blessed them. And he blessed them by using words. You know, there are many ways that we can bless people. We can bless people financially. And we can even bless people with our words. And God blessed the man that he created. And he told him to be fruitful. He told him to multiply. Told him to replenish. Subdue. So when God blessed means empowered to prosper, empowered to prosper others, become a divine instrument in the hand of God to alleviate the suffering in other people's lives. And a lot of times you have to have the love of God and the heart of God inside of you in order to be a blessing. You know, in this world system, it's
not
like
a
dog.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. And in the world system, you know, it's every man's for himself. It's just like dog eat dog. And some people have, I don't know where they get this thinking that if God bless me, that bless you, that's going to leave me out. That has nothing to do with God blessing me because God's got, there's no lack of resources with God because everybody God sent into the earth, he put everything in your faith account you would ever need to fulfill your assignment in the earth. So there's really no reason for me to cut it or you know, be jealous of anything that the Lord do for you because like he do for you, he'll do for me because he's no respecter person.
That's right.
And when God blesses, he blesses, like when you read the one in Deuteronomy 8:18, but he said, you'll remember the Lord your God that giving you power to get wealth. God is the one that gives us the ideas and the strategies. And God has always been interested in harvest. Always, always. When he put the first man into the earth, he meant for that man to be fruitful. He meant for him to multiply. God wanted to see images of himself all over the earth. And when it's a blessing, it will multiply. It will cause great joy. It will alleviate suffering and pain. And in Proverbs 11 and 22, it says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he addeth no sorrow with it. And so the blessing of the Lord, if you are afraid to give, that means that you think you got a little God. And no matter what you have, when God asks us to give something to someone or to bless them in some way, God's always thinking about harvest. Now, what he's asked you to give is a seed. And he knows that there can be no harvest without a seed. And the harvest is always, always more than the seed you plant. So a lot of his children don't understand that is one way that God multiply your seed sown. That's one way that God will bless you by being a blessing. But a lot of times we'll look at it and say, well, if I give you, this is only going to leave me so much. God doesn't want us looking at it like that. He said, you know, just like when the little boy had the two fish and the five loaves, and the disciples said, what is this among so many people? And Jesus told him, he said, bring it to me. And when you put it in his hands, it says he looked up toward heaven and he gave thanks. Because see, it's just like you say, it's the Lord that gives you the power. So he looked up toward heaven and he thanked his Father that what he had in his hand would be more than enough. And it was. They even had so many baskets that they took up afterwards. But if we look at being a blessing as what I have left, instead of God's trying to get something to me, when he asks you to bless. And sometimes God won't even, we have to get to a place, Apostle Armstrong, that we don't have to see a lightning strike or hear a big boom of thunder to want to give. It should just be in our heart that if we see a person in need, you know, that the compassion, Jesus was so compassionate, he still is, so compassionate when he was on earth. That's why he couldn't leave anybody sick that came to him. I mean, anybody in dire situation, circumstance, the compassion in his heart, he just wanted to bless. He wanted to help. And so that should be our heart's cry is, Lord, what can I do to be a blessing? Instead of, Lord, who can bless me? Who can bless me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing about a giver sometimes is that we have a difficult time receiving. So God not only wants you to be a cheerful giver, he wants you to be a cheerful receiver. Because just like you said,
mm-hmm.
that person that was wanting to bless you, God was using that seed to set them up for something they're believing for. And a lot of believers don't see, they don't know that. And so they say, well, if I give her that, all I'm going to have left is that. All God needs is a seed. He said, just mustard size. I got a little mustard seed. I got a little pack of mustard seed. And they are so tiny. But those grow up into magnificent, humongous trees. And so what God wanted us to do is that we don't necessarily have to hear God say, do this or do that or whatever. Say, for instance, you walk in a restaurant or you see maybe you're going into a restaurant to eat and someone's out there and they don't have any food or whatever. And they say, could you just give me a dollar? Or whatever. Now, a lot of times you have to be led by the Holy Spirit because we know we got, you know, panhandlers out there. But it just ought to be something in you that they're hungry. I'm going to go in here and get something and bring it back out and give them to. It's not because we got a memo from heaven, not because, you know, some supernatural something, just the compassion of God in our hearts. And what a lot of people don't understand is the more you give, the more will be given back to you. God will
mm-hmm.
see to it that you never run out. God will see to it that you have what you need. It's like you said, there are things that we're being blessed with now is because of perhaps a seed we planted a long time ago. That just goes right along with salvation. We probably have planted seeds for loved ones, and it just looked like, you know, it was never going to come to pass, but it did, and it shall, and it will, because that's the incorruptible seed. It's always going to bring the harvest. So God is always looking for harvest. He's always looking for a way to get something to us, to make our lives better. And as he make our lives better, then we are to make other people's lives better.
People's lives better.
So that is one of the reasons that he blesses us, so that we can be a blessing to others.
It's a little bit different now than
mm-hmm.
those people who walk up on Sunday morning and put their little envelope in the tithe box. They say
mm-hmm.
that we are tithers. And they have, and a lot of them, they got their reward whenever they walked up there and put their little envelope in there, because what was in their heart was not given according to the word of God. It was given to show the people that I'm a tither and come up there and put it in. And so we, now I blame us pastors. We don't have to teach the people what it means to give. What it, does it mean to give, not to tithe, but to give? Because if they understand how to give, tithing comes that second thought. Because when you get there, the Holy Spirit and you already had the conversation as to what you're going to give, and you don't need it. Just put it in the box and send it on. Let it go on. So, and it's interesting. And because I watch people at times in some of these large churches, and what happens is they make the people who don't have anything, they make them feel bad. As opposed to being there, given to be a blessing. So we have to understand what it is that we're doing and why we're doing it. Because a lot of us don't know. And then we get upset with God because, I paid my tithes. I don't know why God didn't give me what it was that I asked for. Well, your heart wasn't right. Just like my thing I used to do, okay, but God, I put X number of dollars in church, so now I need I need you to give me X number of dollars. Oh, well, I'm going to put this in there, because if I put this in down, what's going to happen? God's going to give me more money. And part of that had to do with what the minister had said, the way to give, to get God. It's like, I'm a country boy, and we had a pump, and you had to go out and prime the pump to get the water. And basically, that's what I call myself doing, priming God to get him to get the money to flow to me. And that was very inappropriate. That wasn't the proper way of giving. And whenever I come into the understanding of giving, what that means is then things started happening differently. Giving, paying, putting money in that thing, even whenever I didn't go up there, I still put it in the plate. Well, the expectation was that I put X number of dollars in this plate, so now I need X number of dollars back. And that's not according to the word.
Well, you know, to Apostle, we don't want people just to think that the only way we can give, and I know you're not saying that, but some people have that the only way they can give is money. There's so many ways that you can give that would be just a warm smile, a warm hello, give somebody a ride, give somebody an encouraging word. Those things carry a lot more weight with God than money. And this is how I teach in our church, because the tithe means the tenth. So if you don't have a job, you didn't work or anything, and somebody gave you a dollar, 10 cents out of that dollar is a tithe. God looks at that 10 cents just like he looks at somebody whose tithe is $1,000. And so we haven't taught that. Whether we did it consciously or unconsciously, we taught that the bigger your tithe, the more you can expect from God. But tithe is simply 10%. And when you tithe in faith, if I tithe from my heart, and that 10% was my tithe, and I gave it with faith and because I love God, God will bless and multiply that 10% more than somebody maybe whose tithe was $1,000, but they didn't give it, like you said, out of their heart. They didn't give it with love. They just gave it out of duty or just obligation. But I always teach my people, listen, If your tithe is nothing but a dime, if you haven't, you know, all of a sudden somebody gave me a dollar, and I'm going to give God 10-cent tithe and whatever you want to give for an offering, God honors that just like he honors somebody to walk up there and put a $25,000 check in there, and it's their tithe. Because tithing is an attitude of the heart. We tithe from our heart. Everything that we do, we should do it from our heart. Just giving a person, sometimes God will place a person on your heart. And maybe you haven't seen them or talked to them or anything, and God will place them on your heart, and he wants you to call them and bless them. Have you ever just called somebody and they said, what a blessing to hear your voice? And that had nothing to do with money. It had to do with the love of God and the compassion of God. So we want people to know that, you know, we need money to run things in this world system. We got to keep the lights on and pay the gas and some mortgage and all that. But when we think about giving to God, let's give him our life like he gave us his life. Let's give him our attitude. Let's give him, you know, our conduct. Let's give him our love. Let's give him what he's given to us, and then watch that be reduplicated and multiplied in the earth. I show you a kindness. Now, you don't have to try to, well, I'm going to pay you, but no. Don't, it ain't about paying me back. Pay it forward. You be kind to somebody else. You share the goodness of the Lord with somebody else. You don't owe me anything. I was in the grocery store, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, and it was almost closing time. I ran over there after I got out of school, and this lady was in there, and she didn't speak very good English at all, hardly any English at all. But she was having to put some of her items back because she didn't have enough money. And so I didn't do this to be seen. I didn't make no big noise. I just walked up to her and I said, would you allow me to do that for you? I said, God wants to bless you. And she, at first she didn't understand. The cashier was telling her, this lady wants to do this for you. She said, oh, Jesus, and whatever. I knew that was Jesus in their language. But she was saying, and I told her, God love you. And see, it's things like that that sometimes make off. Because I knew, you know, you could kind of look at her and tell, you know, things was rough with her. And she wouldn't have picked her, and it was like milk and stuff. And I knew that, you know, probably really needed that. She wouldn't have picked it up had she not needed it. And, you know.
Right.
Such a blessing from doing that. I don't know that lady. May not never see that lady again, but she'll know God loves her. You know, she'll know that God met her at that place. And see, that's all God wanted to do. When God sent Jesus into this world, he sent him into this world for every person that he created. It doesn't matter your race, your creed, your color. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. It doesn't matter if you live on the best side of town or what we call the worst side of town. But God wants to bless us. I don't care who you are. God wants to make your life better. And so I think, you know, when we allow him to bless others through us, that blesses God. When Jesus took those loaves and looked up to the Father, I'm going to put this in my own language. Father, I know these people have been here all day, and I've preached all day, and they've clung to your word. They sat here, Lord. We can't sell. And I know, this is what, Lord, I know you don't want to send them away hungry. So this is what we got to work with. Will you bless them so that I can be a blessing to them? And the Lord multiply. He didn't give it to him himself. He broke it, and then he put it in the hands of his disciples. And they began to give to the people, and it said they all ate. There was 5,000 men plus women and children just out of being, looking up to heaven, acknowledging who the giver of it was, thanking him that I know you want to bless these people. And so that's why it's always an honor to be able to bless. So the Bible says it's more blessed to give. In Acts 20:35, he said, Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's why a lot of times
we're
givers, it's so hard for us to receive because we always want to be given. But there are times, just like any good farmer, when you plant, you're going to be able to partake of what you planted too. So God will multiply that seed sown back into your life in the way that you need it. You may sow money into somebody's life, but you might need healing in your body. You might need your children saved. You might, like this with this church, you may need God to be your advocate. You may need him to be your lawyer. You may need him to, you know, work out that situation. So God will multiply that seed sown back to you in the way that you need it.
Yeah, yeah, and see, a lot of us, we waiting for it to drop out of the sky whenever. How does God work? God works through people.
He does.
That just hit me. And, you know, this was God's way of blessing me through this person.
Yeah,
I'm not only blocking that person to receive a blessing, but I was blocking God from blessing me through that person. That's very interesting. I never thought about it that way.
Never would have thought about it that way. What he was saying, Willie Armstrong, I love you, and I just want to do something good for you today. I want to bless you because you bless me as you share this word, as you teach, and as you give your life, and as you give your time. He said, because any good farmer that plants a seed and you don't expect to get any harvest off of it, you're going to be able to share.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be enough for you to get. So all Daddy God was saying was, Willie, I love you. And I just want to do something good for you today, son, because you're such a blessing to me.
So, you know, now I understand why I had to do this, that it was the topic for the night. Because he revealed to me, I did it. And what did the scripture say? He gave you power to get wealth. So that he can fulfill the covenant that he made with the ancestors. So that could have been, that's what my whole thing is, what I've been saying, is in terms of wealth. That person was given wealth so that God gave that person the wealth so that person could pass it on and it be used for the youth or the elders.
Isn't it good to know that we're still growing, Apostle Armstrong, you and I and every other believer. We're all, every day God shows us, and we're open to learn more and more about his heart and his character and what he wants to do for his children. And the more we allow, and I use that word allow, the more we allow God to love us and to form his image in us, the more of a blessing we'll be to those around us. Because if God has forgiven us, then when somebody else, you think to yourself, you think, well, you know, what if God had given up on me? What if? And then that will cause you to be merciful. That'll cause you to be more of a blessing where if you didn't think like that, well, you shouldn't have done so-and-so, and you'll think to yourself, wow, kind of like the woman they caught in adultery, and all of them standing around with a stone, ready to stone her, and he just bent down on the ground and started writing. You know, Jesus was saying, I'm the one gave the law, and now you're going to tell me about the law? You trying to trip me up with my own law? And one by one, they dropped their rock, and they dropped their rock, and I believe when we allow God to just put his heart and his compassion and his image on the inside of us, what a great blessing we are. You know, I sat there, and when I got in the car, tears began to run down my face because, Apostle Armstrong, I was where that lady was one time. You know, I was where I couldn't buy. I needed it, and I couldn't get it. You know, I couldn't buy it. And it was, it just blessed my heart. I'm like, God, I know how she feels, you know. And then I said, you blessed me now. That was the word I said, you have blessed me now that I can be a blessing. Ooh, that made me so happy. And she just kept saying, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Oh, my goodness, thank you so much. And I said, honey, just give the glory to God. You know, and that's what God wants to do, is bless us. He doesn't want us broke, Apostle Armstrong, because there are people that we're literally gonna save their lives, whether it's by word or finances or favor or whatever, because He wants to use us. We're who He has to use in this earth. So all the riches and stuff is not for the unsaved. It is for the body of Christ. And God wants to have children, sons and daughters that are trustworthy, that will not worship what He gives us, but worship the one that gave it to us. And when He tells us to release it or give it here, I'll say this. Oh, it's been, oh my goodness, Apostle, I'm sorry. It's probably been about 5 years ago. I had bought a very pretty ring. It was the most expensive ring I've ever had, you know, and it was really pretty. And I really liked that ring. Well, I have my nephew's wife. She was sitting. She said, oh, I love that ring. That is so pretty. I would say, thank you. She said, oh, gosh, I love that ring. Well, one day, the Lord told me, He said, I want you to bless her with that ring. Boy, I shut down both ears. I'm like, I know the Lord is not telling me to give her this ring. God, I put that ring on layaway. That ring was a $300. I'm like, Lord. And He said, I want you to bless her with that ring. Oh, I wish I could say, Apostle Armstrong, that I just jumped up and down and said, yay, I get. No. No. I'm like, oh, God, really? Can't I just give her something else? But then the Lord just He began to massage my heart. And I gave her that ring, and she cried. She said, no one has ever given me anything this nice. She said, oh, and she wears it to the day. She had it on the other day, and she said, Apostle, look. And I'm like, oh, and when God, is this Apostle also, the Holy Spirit dropped this in my heart. He said, whenever He tell you to give away something that you have, from the moment that He tells you to give it away, it is no longer yours.
That's similar.
Isn't that something? He said, from the minute or the moment that I tell you to release it, it is no longer yours.
Well, it's very interesting because He put everything here on this earth. So technically,
yes,
it was His before it came out.
Yes.
And the form that it's in, that was, He put that image in somebody's head to make that ring. And they took what? They took the minerals and the stuff from the earth to make that.
Uh-huh.
Just like money. Money.
Yeah.
How do we get, where money come from? The trees.
That's
somebody
right.
thought about how they could take compressors and make paper, and then the ink and all of that. So none of that technically is ours. It's all His. And if He charged us for it, we couldn't afford it.
No, sir.
So you're right. It is no longer yours once He tell you to give it away.
From the and from the moment that he tells you to give it away, that's when he starts multiplying the harvest on it.
Mm-hmm.
We delay harvest ourselves a lot of times on seed. It, you know, I even just hear the Holy Spirit say this too. He said a lot of times, if God have commanded you, because God don't ask, he command us to forgive people and to walk in love. And from the moment that he commands you to forgive that person, and you don't forgive that person, ooh, Holy Spirit, I hear you. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, Lord, thank you. He said from the moment he tells you to forgive that person and you don't forgive that person, he said you begin a life sentence. Mm. You build a prison for yourself and you begin to serve, not them. You begin to, ooh, God, I got to write that down. So good, Apostle, I got to write that down. He said, when you don't forgive, you begin to serve a life sentence. You put yourself in a prison. What God is wanting to do is to have you forgive. Then he'll release that hurt, and he can begin to till that soil and go down and get the root of that thing out, where you can once again trust, where you can once again laugh, where you can once again love. Isn't that awesome?
Now that is so true. As long as,
isn't that wonderful?
As long as you walk around with unforgiveness,
yes.
you're miserable. You're literally miserable. And
yes.
What happens is you wind up trying to find some external substance to kill that misery that you have.
Yes.
And that's why I look at guys who've been in the military and who come home. We train them. We send them off to do. And then when they come home, we ignore them. Those poor persons, a lot of them, they can't forgive themselves for what they've done.
Yes.
They knew that they were sent by the state, by the nation, to do what they did, that they were trained. But you need to sit down with some of them and let them process how they felt about what they were doing. And then they will be able to forgive themselves and move on. It's like I worked with a police officer there in Baltimore, and he worked with the youth. Well, I learned that he killed the paper boy years ago. Years ago. But I really honestly and truthfully believe he never really forgiven himself for what he did. It might have been self-defense. It might have been an accident. Whatever it was, I don't know. But that's what was holding him back.
Wow.
He was like going around and around in a circle. He needed help. But see, he has to realize that he needed help. He has to realize that he needs to ask for help. But until that happens, nothing is going to come of it.
That's right.
And these poor guys that come back from Vietnam, I mean, my generation, they're really in bad shape. I had a buddy, I had two buddies. One of them, he never really was out there shooting at anybody. He saw something. He was a computer repair person, and he was in the bunker with Westmoreland and all them. And that boy started drinking a bottle of booze a day. He sent me a letter, and last time we were at his house before they divorced, 3 o'clock in the morning, he had to go and top off his glass before he could go to bed. And then there was another one. He was telling me he was in the foxhole, and he was talking, and he turned around, and his buddy got shot right between the eyes. And I hear you talking about young boys who never seen dead people like that,
yes.
who never been impacted by violence.
Yes.
And that's a scar. That's
yeah.
a scar.
Yeah,
yeah, so forgiveness is very, yeah, yeah, forgiveness is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't, we play it down. We don't build it up enough.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave.
Mm-hmm.
God so loved the world that he gave his only. His only. He didn't have two or three sons. He gave his only begotten son that the world through him might be saved. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And he forgave us.
Yes.
He forgave us.
Yes. Because he remembered what he said when he made man. He said he blessed them. And God still wants to bless us. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Most definitely.
Well, let's see what time it's getting into be.
I have 7:25.
Oh, we got 4 minutes. Okay. So you got 25, you got 5 minutes, I got 4 minutes. Oh, I got 3 minutes, 7:26.
It just clicked down what it said.
Yeah, yeah. But one thing we maybe need to highlight is the non-monetary giving. Non-monetary
yes.
giving
yes,
is just
God.
As important as
it is.
Money, giving
yes,
money.
Because
now
yes.
in this society we are now, we can give money and not feel connected to anything
that's
but
right.
the money. We
that's
gave
right.
the money there. But you
mm-hmm.
have to become connected to the people
yes.
or to the situation once you start
right.
giving other than money.
That's right. That's right.
How much time do you give to your community?
Yeah.
Do you come
mm-hmm.
home? What do you do? Go in and you lock the door. You turn on
mm-hmm.
the ignore box and you sit there for
mm-hmm.
the rest of the night. Then you get up, turn on the alarm, and go to sleep. So
mm-hmm.
the whole thing is, what value? What light have you shined? What
right.
have you done for anyone? So
mm-hmm.
that's, and again, I have to say, we have a law. How do they know without a preacher?
That's right. That's right.
Yep. 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 Yep.
Amen. Amen.
We are the spiritual leaders.
Yes, we are.
We
yes.
need it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about Fred Price. One thing that I admire about him, from the time I first started listening to him to the time he passed,
mm-hmm.
his whole theme was we walk by faith and not
yes.
by sight. And he
That's
would
right.
tell people, look, where I got what I got was because of the word. I followed the word.
Mm-hmm.
And see,
right.
No one took him up on that and followed the word. And if they would have taken him up on that and followed the word and it didn't happen, then they would have a legitimate point that they need to sit
mm-hmm.
down and have a discussion with him about. But people want to cry and complain about what he got, what he's
mm-hmm.
doing, as opposed to trying what he said you need to do.
That's right.
So
mm-hmm.
It was very interesting. And most
mm-hmm.
of the time it had looked, you know, his emphasis was less on money than on following the word. And
right.
if you follow the word, money going to come. You're going
right.
to get the money because the money going to come to you.
It
and
will.
Then your heart going to say you need to pass it on.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, our 60 seconds should be about up. We got 10 seconds now. I'm glad we prayed at the beginning, not at the end, because we won't have time.
Okay. Well, it's been great all
right.
always. Love and appreciate you, Apostle Armstrong.
Same here.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.